This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Has the blueprints of life and is in the Word of God. And so let us not forget that He is the one building. Verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So not only are we living stones of this spiritual house, but we now serve in the house as a holy priesthood.
As Pastor Eddie continues his teaching series through the book of 1 Peter, he'll be explaining how you're called to be set apart and holy unto the Lord. Although Peter is addressing Jewish believers specifically in this text, we discover that all believers will one day participate in God's kingdom, that will one day come to earth, and that we are all serving as priests in the sense that we are proclaiming God's excellencies. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 as he continues his message, the chosen stone and his chosen people.
Partake of the Word of God. We study the Word of God. What Peter's doing here, he is drawing out from Psalm 34, verse 8. And that's what it says. In Psalm 34, verse 8, the psalmist writes this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, He is. And if Peter says, if you have tasted His loving kindness, then you should be having a healthy appetite. Say, that tastes good. I want more of that. You see, I've tasted the Lord is good. The Word is good. It's healthy. I want more of that. And so verses one through three, we see the five sins that we're to lay aside, take off. Now in verses 4 to 10, we're going to the construction site of this temple. We're building, we're co-laborers with Christ. We're being united together. And Peter now is going to move from exhortation to consideration of the believer in Christ, privilege in the new house of God, the church of Christ. We're going to be priests, holy priests, royal priests, and we're going to be helping the Lord. Now, you're going to see this image of the stone. Before we go into this, understand that the living stone that we're going to be reading here, or chief cornerstone, it all points to Jesus. But this is not a new concept with the New Testament. This was also in the Old Testament. Christ was always the picture in the Old Testament as the rock. As a matter of fact, in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says this, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. And you also, when we go to the book of Daniel, you remember the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the image that he saw. He saw the head of gold, which speaks of Babylon. He saw the chest and arms with silver, which is Medo-Persia. Today is modern-day Iran. You see the belly and the thigh, which is bronze. That speaks of the Grecian Empire. Okay, Alexander the Great kind of ruled in that area. And then he saw the legs of iron, which is Rome. Now, the feet and the clay is the 10 nations. And in the 70s, those who study eschatology would put the 10 nations as the European Union. But then we had a problem. The European Union was no longer 10 nations. There were more. Unless this image has 13 toes, I don't know. It's 10, okay? But I'm going to leave you with something, and I'm going to leave you hanging with this thought as to the 10 nations. In Revelation, Paul says, 5 have fallen. One is to come, and the eighth is of the seventh. The five that fall in is right here in Daniel's dream. All these nations were Muslim nations. They were against Israel. One is, he's in Rome. I mean, he's in Patmos by Rome. One is. Rome is still on when he started writing the book of Revelation. Okay? One is to come. That is the Ottoman Empire, which is Islamic, and the one to come is the 10 nations, which also is Islamic. What you see what's going on here with Israel? Let me tell you something. This is a part of it, okay? And what's going to happen? Now, I'm going to leave you hanging with that. You can take that home. But here's what happened. This dream of Nebuchadnezzar, what happened? What took down these nations? A stone, Jesus Christ. In that dream, he saw this image, and this stone just started rolling away. It's not rolling stones, not the rolling stones, the bad. This is Jesus Christ coming down. Boom, it hits this image, and it shatters the kingdom. And what it's telling is that Jesus Christ is the stone, and he is coming. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to conquer all these kingdoms on the earth, and he's going to bring his kingdom, and we're going to rule and reign with him. Jesus is the stone. We also see the stone with the children of Israel in the wilderness. If you remember, the Lord told Moses, listen, you know, just strike the rock, and water will come out. So Moses did that. He struck the rock, and water came out. Okay? The second time, the Lord said, speak to the rock. Moses, in his anger, all right, he misrepresented God. He said, should I have to strike this rock to give you water? Because he was tired of them, you know, complaining, murmuring, and it got to him. He got in the flesh. He misrepresented God. God was angry that he struck the rock because God told him, speak to the rock. And what happened? God did not allow him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua had to do it. But here's what's important. The reason why, and Paul tells us this, that the rock was struck once, but not the second time. Why? Because Jesus Christ was smitten once. He was crucified once. And it's through him, whoever comes to him who's thirsty, he shall give us living water. You see, he only has to die once on the cross, not twice. So the picture of the rock was the point of Jesus. So I just want to give you an idea that this concept, this image of Christ being the rock was always in the Old Testament and the New Testament. What we always say about the Old Testament and New Testament is why we study both. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Okay? The Old Testament conceals a lot of the information that we have in the New Testament. And the New Testament kind of explains some of the Old Testament. And that's why we see Jesus. So let's look at verse 4. Verse 4. Peter writes, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Living stone. Living stone. The translation of living is the Greek word Zoe. S-O-E. Some people name their kids know Zoe. Then some people had the name Zoe. It means life in all forms. Form. God, from God himself who is life to the most insignificant thing on the planet. It speaks of life. And though Christ was rejected by men, he was precious because he was chosen by God the Father. However, not all rejected Christ. Not all has rejected the living stone. For you and I who believe in Jesus Christ, we receive him as the living stone. As a matter of fact, we say he's the chief cornerstone. And so as children of God, we gather together as living stones with Christ. Look at verse 5. You also as living stones. So we're living stones. And it's just kind of ironic because stones are not alive, you know, but we're living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You see, we're part of this house, this construction project. We are part of this lifelong building project and building the house of God. You're living stones. Christ is the living stone. And we come together. We're his church. Because Jesus said, I would build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we, as we gather in Christ, we see the chief cornerstone. We're going to see that in verse 6. All together, we form a spiritual house of God. So we're part of this project. We're part of this construction. And so that's why we need to work together. Lay aside these sins. So we need to love one another. Now, let us not forget that Christ is the chief cornerstone of the house. He is the one building the house, not you. No matter what ministry you're in, it is not you. It's about Jesus. This church is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the one that builds this church. 11 years ago, we started in a home with just a couple of two or three families. Now, look who we are right now. In just 11 years, two services are being filled. Who's building it? Not me. It is not my wisdom. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the pack. God could use anybody. I'm a perfect example of that. It's the Lord. He's building it. It's through his word. I'm teaching his word. And you come because of the word. You're learning. You're growing. You're getting to know your Savior. He's the builder of the house. He has the blueprints of life and is in the word of God. And so let us not forget that he is the one building. Verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So not only are we living stones of this spiritual house, but we now serve in the house as a holy priesthood. So not only you're a living stone, now you're inside the house. You're building this house, now you're in it, and you're serving the Lord as a holy priest. And what we see here, what Peter is saying here in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2, is that if you look at the old covenant with the children of Israel, you know, the old covenant, what they would do, they would sacrifice animals. There was the high priest who sacrificed animals, but now, because of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, is no longer necessary because he is the one that is the high priest. And what do we offer him? We don't offer any more sacrifices. What we offer is spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What are these spiritual sacrifices that Peter is referring to here? Well, we have two Bible verses to help us to understand what are these two spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer as a holy priesthood in the house of God. Number one, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. If you study Psalm 51, by the way, is David, who is crying out for repentance. He's asking God for forgiveness. He wants God to repent of his sin because of Bathsheba. So if you read the story of Bathsheba, you want to know how he repented, read Psalm 51. But in this psalm right here, David writes in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, he says, "For you do not desire sacrifices, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So you are part of this building project. You're now serving as a holy priest. And what are you offering God? A broken heart and broken spirit. It's not talking about, oh, your broken heart, somebody broke your heart. No, it's you yourself breaking yourself so that God could make you the man and woman of God he wants you to be. Because you need to die to yourself, you see. You need to die to yourself so that God could work in your life and make you to be more and more like him. You see, I pray to God, Lord, save me from myself. I do. Lord, save me from myself. Or John the Baptist, remember he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Jesus said, he who seeks his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So we need to die to self. So that way, a lot of us need to be removed. Remember, the old man, that's an ongoing process as God is building us personally, we're being more and more like Christ. That's number one, a broken and contrite heart. Number two, the spiritual sacrifices is praise and worship. Praise and worship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The writer of Hebrews writes this, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer," what? "The sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name." So we worship God. Listen, the worship is not an opening act for the word of God. Don't ever come in the house of God and think that, okay, we just got to sing some songs, hear the announcement. Okay, I want to hear the word of God. Meanwhile, everybody's worshiping. You know, you're not to be a spectator. You're supposed to join in with the worship. And don't worry, it's not American Idol or Babylonian Idol. It's Jesus Christ. He doesn't care if you can sing or not. He just cares that your heart is there and you're singing with us, not just to follow the bouncing ball, you know, on the screen. Okay, I just got to read his answer. No, worship God. Worship God. That is the sacrifice as a holy priesthood in the house of God. Let's look at verse 6. "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone,'" there he is, "'elect and precious, and he who believes on him," the chief cornerstone, "'will by no means be put to shame.'" Is in italics in your Bible because he is quoting from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the one in charge of this building project. We are working together with him. And, you know, we have not rejected him. We know who he is. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the chief cornerstone. However, sadly, there are those who have rejected Christ. And let's look what he's going to quote. Psalm 118, verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22. He says, "But to those who are disobedient, The stone which the builder rejects has become the chief cornerstone. And verse 8, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. You see, they stumbled on the rock. But we know the rock is our salvation. He's the rock of our salvation. He is a chief cornerstone. There's a story, I don't know how true it is, but it's popular. It was saying, like, I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. You go to Israel and you receive the wall, the stone. Let me tell you, those stones are massive, massive. But what they put these stones together, they cut them precisely. And when you go to Israel and you go under the tunnel, under the temple, and you can actually see the ashes of when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but you see how they put these stones together, no mortar, no cement, nothing to glue it together. They were cut precisely together. And there was a story that when they were building the temple, now when they build the temple, they didn't do the cutting of these limestones, which, by the way, in Israel, they have to build. In Jerusalem, all the buildings have to be in limestone. You will never see a wooden house, a house of steel. It has to be limestone because it's the law in Israel. The limestone, and so they would cut the stone in the quarry away from the temple. Now, that part is true, but here's the part that, you know, is a story, but it fits really well, whether it's true or not. After they built the temple, they realized, hey, where's the chief cornerstone? And apparently, somebody rejected because they had no idea what it was. And they left it aside. They found it somewhere in the bushes. Whether it's true or not, it fits well with the story. Because you could build a house without the chief cornerstone. It's dangerous. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, you and I, believers in Christ, who are being saved, who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power. One thing about the word, it doesn't need your help. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't need your help. You don't got to soup it up, make it sound intelligent, make yourself smart. You just speak the word. It is the power to salvation. That's what Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power to salvation. It is the power. And so, but it's foolishness to the world. It's like a stumbling block. It's like a stumbling stone. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, which is true. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You see, it's not foolishness to us. The cross was always foolish. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Paul is trying to say, he's not saying, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, I'm not ashamed and how God chose to die for me on the cross. I'm not ashamed. A man was considered to the Jews to be a curse to be on the cross. The Romans thought it was foolishness. You see a man who barely, in the Bible it says, Isaiah, that it already seemed that it was a man. His body was so marred because of all the scourging and the whipping that he took before he went to the cross. And what Paul's saying, yeah, that's my God. That's my God. The one on the cross. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Because it's the power to save. So it's foolishness, even to this day. It's foolishness to man, but to you and I, it's not foolishness. We know it's because of the cross that we believe and serve the one and true God, and that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Those who reject Christ and his word, those who have chose to build their own lives with their own stones and their own way, will ultimately stumble and fall. They find Christ to be an obstacle in the way. So instead, Christ being a rock of salvation, he has become a rock of offense. Verses 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Peter, what he's doing, he's borrowing the language and the image that you find in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you read it, it's the same image. A royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. That was once used for the Jews. I'm not talking about replacement theology, but that was salvation is of the Jews, okay? But now, because God had a plan for a nation. He had a plan for a nation. And we are a chosen generation, once applied to the children of Israel. But now, because of Christ, who is the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, he is the Lord, he is King, he is the Savior of the world. Both Jews and Gentiles have placed, we have placed our faith in him, and he's our God. Now, understand this, just wanted you to see the difference here. In verse 5, if you draw, look up back at verse 5, Peter says that you are a holy priesthood. You're a holy priesthood. That's what he said in verse 5. In other words, you're in the temple offering those spiritual gifts acceptable to God. Remember that? Now here in verse 9, Peter says that you are a royal priesthood. Holy, royal. So holy, you're in the temple with offering spiritual sacrifice. Royal, meaning you come out of the temple and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we're all over this project. We are with God. So out of the temple, we proclaim the gospel. We're witness of the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're a holy nation. We're a unified group of people set apart for God, for the use of God. And so that's why we need to set aside all these sins, that we be united together as we build together. We're growing together. That growing is a spiritual growth. It's a building. And who's the chief? Jesus Christ. He's building a temple. He's building you personally. He's building us collectively as one local body, but he's building the universal body of Christ. And so we're part of this building project. But I love what he says at the end, out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We were in darkness, now because of Christ, we're in his wonderful light. We're in the wonderful light, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So understand this, saints, we're part of the building program of God, being part of, we're working together in harmony with one another, working with Christ as the chief cornerstone, building the house of God. We lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Let us desire the pure milk of the word of God. For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we might proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen.
Thank you for taking time today to listen to Running the Race with Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie's been pulling practical truths from the book of 1 Peter. This is the book to read if you're feeling discouraged about an unfair situation you've experienced. It's the book to read if you need to know you're not alone in that frustrating and hard circumstance. Pushing through these kinds of times isn't always easy, but it is worth it. If you find yourself in a place today where you need prayer, please contact us at runningtheraceradio.com and click back to the homepage. Once you've done that, you'll find a form under the Contact tab. Simply fill it out with your prayer request and click Send. This is a safe and confidential way for us to know how to pray for you. Running the Race is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Milford. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience, and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Donations of any size are always used by God. Be sure to come back again for more on Running the Race.